Today's episode is brought to you by Belmont Village. By serving residents with an uncompromising program of architecture, hospitality, and care, Belmont Village will be the top senior living developer and operator in the nation's largest cities. To learn more, visit belmontvillage.com. From Capital Analytics, I'm Abby Malone, and this is Invest Insights. Every week, we bring you perspectives, business advice, and more from the leading executives, entrepreneurs, and investors who are building, diversifying, and leading the way in the country's fastest growing metro markets. Real leaders, real insights, right now. These are challenging times. The COVID-19 pandemic has tested our institutions, our businesses, and ourselves in ways many of us could have not predicted. When we started this podcast, we focused on crisis management as the pandemic raged. Season 2 was all about resilience in the face of uncertainty. And our new season will look at what has emerged as the dominating theme of the pandemic, transformation. From products and services and consumer relations to future plans and how these leaders themselves have personally transformed, we'll be going in depth to learn just how much our world has changed. Enjoy. I'm joined today by Dean Trantalis, the mayor of the city of Fort Lauderdale. Dean, welcome.
Thank you.
You know, while filled with challenges stemming from the pandemic, 2020 also offered opportunity to reevaluate priorities and address inefficiencies. With this in mind, how has the city of Fort Lauderdale transformed its thinking as it relates to top priorities, and how is this reflected in the city budget for 2021? For example, are there any future capital improvement or infrastructure projects that have either altered or placed more emphasis?
So in response to the COVID pandemic, we anticipated a significant hit to our budget. We tried to calculate the amount of income that we'd be losing, and we adjusted our budget accordingly as the months proceeded. Fortunately, those projections were far too conservative. And in fact, we did not suffer the same amount of economic impact as we had originally anticipated. Nonetheless, we did put off some capital improvement projects that were tied into our budget. However, our other projects, such as our infrastructure construction project with sewer, water treatment, stormwater, all that moved forward aggressively. In fact, it was the COVID pandemic allowed us to proceed at a faster pace because all the other variables that normally would interfere with progress on a construction project like this were not interfering with this project. We were also able to move forward with Parks Bond. We had last year, the community voted $200 million to buy new open space, to rehabilitate existing parks and recreation facilities. And that proceeded without any interruption. Moreover, the community passed a $100 million police bond to build a new police station. That too moved forward without any interruption. So the great thing is that a lot of our infrastructure projects have not been interfered with as a result of COVID. And at the same time, it kept people employed. It kept the community, running safely and efficiently. And many of the efficiencies that we thought we would find ourselves confounded by this pandemic, in fact, did not materialize. We were able to at least go through our budget and see where we could, trim any fat. And to that extent, we were able to cut down our budget somewhat. But the reality is that our income was pretty much maintained. So we were able to keep the level of service in our community that our community expected from us.
When we spoke to you for our Invest Greater Fort Lauderdale report, you made a comment that we realized through this pandemic that there needs to be a balance between saving people's lives and protecting livelihoods. As most states are now looking towards safely reopening their economies, how can the city of Fort Lauderdale serve as an example of which they would look to replicate?
So as this pandemic made its way through our community, obviously, we never experienced something like this before. No community, no city, no state has ever figured out how best to address the challenges of a pandemic. We were looking to the national leadership, we're looking to state leadership, we're looking even to our county leadership to kind of give us some direction on how we are to proceed. Unfortunately, we got inconsistent messages from the top down. And so we had to proceed on our own way, do the best we could to try to keep people safe, try to ensure that the spread of this pandemic did not make its way through our community. And at the same time, try to get people back on their feet. When the federal money started to dry up and we saw that the economy was going to take a trip south, you know, we did not want to see any of that happen in our city. So we, working with the governor's office and working with the county, we were able to come up with certain protocols that allowed some of our businesses to open up, especially in our hospitality field. You know, Florida, especially Fort Lauderdale, is dependent upon hospitality industry. And so we were able to reopen our restaurants, our bars, and other forms of recreation, our hotels. And while there's been inconsistent patronage in all these different types of businesses, people were able to get back to work. People were able to start to put food on their table, feed their families. And we're not there yet, but we are slowly making our way towards some level of normalcy. And the only concern that I have is that people see that attempt to return to some level of normalcy has now turned into complacency. And that is the biggest fear that I have, that complacency is going to cause us to dip into that realm of no return, where the pandemic once again spreads throughout the community. And that would be a danger we're trying to avoid. So we're hoping that people will continue with the safe practices, putting masks on and distancing from one another, and just keeping safe. And that's a personal responsibility. And that's the emphasis that we are trying to spread throughout our community.
How is the city of Fort Lauderdale implementing technology to further transform and strengthen its residents' relationship with the local governance?
So technology has been very important to us. We've been using a lot of social media to get our message out. We've been using all of our techniques that are available, Twitter, Facebook, you know, sending out regular email and press releases, having press conferences on a regular basis, appearing on television. The whole point is to get the message out. We don't want people to feel like they're in the dark and they're alone in this. You know, we are together in trying to overcome the challenges of COVID-19. And government must be there to partner and to assist with the people, each and every person in our community, to make sure that they're going to be safe and that we can get them back on their feet, you know, if that opportunity presents itself. So that's what we've done. And we've worked with our county, we've worked with our state officials, and we hope to think that someday soon this will be a success as we, you know, hope to see the end of this virus.
What are the more recent tax and financial incentives that the city of Fort Lauderdale has implemented to further transform and strengthen the economic base of the city? And how will this allow the city to maintain resilience in the case of another economic crisis?
What we've done is we've taken advantage of the federal programs that have been given to us in terms of trying to subsidize businesses with short-term grants and loans. This has been very, very helpful in our community. The city doesn't have the flexibility that some other municipalities have in terms of taxing and grant writing. You know, we are dependent upon the federal government and the state government to ensure that some of these CARES Act monies are being properly distributed to people and places that need them most. We're doing our best with rent assistance, mortgage assistance, and more importantly, we have been very aggressive in trying to minimize the impact of homeless people who have now found their way on the street because they no longer have a job. They no longer have a way to pay their rent or to pay their mortgage. So this past year, we have been very aggressive in trying to find a place for people to shelter and to put food in their mouths and for their families. It's really been a challenge, but it's been a very, very important aspect of trying to deal with the COVID spread.
We've spoken a lot about the transformation at the city level, but I would also like to ask you how last year had forced you to personally transform.
Well, let's put it this way. It really requires a lot of stamina to be able to meet that challenge every morning when something new is put on your desk and said, now what do we do? It's okay. I mean, We have a great team here at City Hall. My staff, the city manager staff, everyone works together to find solutions, working together with the county government and with local officials, business leaders, neighborhood associations. Thank God we have such a strong network here in our city that everyone knows one another, works together, and we all are on the same page trying to achieve the same result. So while it has certainly tested our mettle here, but I think for the most part, the city has certainly risen to the challenge, and hopefully throughout 2021, we'll be able to achieve even greater heights now with the vaccine being administered throughout our community. I want to thank the governor's office in our state for allowing two vaccination facilities to be in our city. It's really, people are very, very appreciative and thankful that that more and more people are getting vaccinated.
Thank you again to our sponsor for making this episode possible, Belmont Village. For more information, visit belmontvillage.com. And to listen to more of our episodes, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Invest Insights. Be sure to follow, rate, and review this podcast to hear more. I'm Abby Malone. Thank you for tuning in.